The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor, brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. This week we are going to be talking about sustainability, and I'm delighted to be joined by Nigel Clark, who is a college tutor and one of our many sustainability champions. Nigel, welcome back. You've been on the show several times before.
I have, thank you.
You wanted to talk about a new EU directive.
Yes, I did, Kieran. Yes, people may have missed it in the news, but it's an important development for marketing and communications professionals, which is the first time, well, certainly for the first time for the EU, but I think this is the first time globally, we're getting a law put in place, admittedly only within the EU, but we're getting the law put in place, which is effectively going to ban or outlaw the use of greenwashing, which I think is an important development for marketing communication professionals to understand.
Okay, so let's go back a stage. So it's called a directive, I believe. So what does that mean?
So the way that the EU works is that at a cross-state level, directives are set out which provide guidance or provide direction to national governments as to what they should put in place in terms of national laws. So every piece of legislation in the EU starts out as a directive, and then national governments do not get the choice. They are required to translate these into national laws. But in this case, this directive was approved by the European Parliament, and MEPs voted for it by, I think the number was 539-21. So there was nobody saying, oh, do we really, you know, should we really be doing this? This was, you know, across the board, supported by all countries, all parties of every political persuasion.
That's good. And when does it come into force?
So the directive comes into force this year. Nation states have up to 2 years to translate the directive into a local law. That's normal for all directives. But I think the important thing now, and the important thing for marketers, communicators to understand, is this is very much setting the direction. You know, this is, it's not a case of, well, this might happen, this might not happen. This will happen, and it's very clear in terms of the direction of travel. So if professionals want to be a kind of ahead of the game, it's important that they understand where things are going.
Okay, so that's all the sort of technicality side. So this is definitely happening, so we need to take it definitely seriously.
Yes.
So what is it? What's it trying to achieve?
So what it's trying to achieve is make sure, absolutely be crystal clear, make sure that companies, brands do not make claims about the environmental or the climate performance of their product or service without that being backed up by data, by evidence, that it's transparent, that consumers or purchasers can understand and be clear that if a claim is being made, then that is genuine.
Okay, so it's going to be like you can't claim that something is cheaper if you haven't sold it at the higher price. It's that level. You should be able to justify your claim.
Yes, exactly. As marketers would expect with their products and services across, you know, other aspects of, you know, of what they offer, it will be exactly the same for the environmental or climate claims that they make about their product.
So what sort of things, so we're talking about greenwashing, aren't we? I
mean, yes, we are. We're absolutely talking about greenwashing. If people understand that the concept here, this is, you know, this will be the gold standard on getting rid of greenwashing.
Okay, so what is it the companies can no longer claim or say?
So I think there are two levels here to look at it. One, And one is kind of relatively new to the scene. So I think if marketers are familiar with the risk of greenwashing, they might be aware that there are already not laws, but for example, in the UK, we have something called the Green Claims Code, which has been established set out by the Competition and Markets Authority. So there have already been some companies and some brands that have fallen foul of the Green Claims Code in the UK already. And that is usually where somebody, in some cases quite innocently, have made a claim about the environmental performance of their product or their service or their brand, but they've not been transparent about how they've made that claim. They've not backed it up with evidence, so consumers or purchasers can't actually find the detail, or they've got ahead of themselves. You know, they've made a claim about, you know, we can do this, but they've not really worked through the detail. There have been some cases where people are just sort of go, oh, let's say that it's fully recyclable when it's not, or let's say there's very little environmental impact when there is, but isn't. But in most cases, the brands that have fallen foul of the code so far have just been a little bit over enthusiastic, or they've not been sufficiently transparent. That is within the directive. And so if companies or brands continue to do that, they will fall foul of the directive as well. Where the directive goes further is in terms of making similar claims about your impact on climate change, or whether you are being good for the climate and reducing your carbon impact.
Okay, so the carbon side, and the fact that they're really going after carbon offsetting, as far as I can see, is really interesting. So before we get into that, let's go back a stage. What is carbon offsetting? So what are companies claiming that they are doing?
So you may have seen brands have been doing this for quite a while. In some cases, not trying to obfuscate or hide behind sort of sneaky accounting, but what they have been doing is claiming that their products are, the language is typically kind of carbon neutral or climate neutral or even climate positive. You see some brands make the claims about, and in that instance, what they're doing is they are buying something called a carbon offset. So what a carbon offset is where you are purchasing or investing in a scheme that effectively or is trying to or promises to use the same level of carbon as you emit. So you can do this with, you know, if we take it down to a personal level, you can do this with flights. If you know that you're flying somewhere, you can go onto a carbon calculator. You can work out that your flight is going to emit, say, 5 tons of carbon. You know, if you're flying to the States and back, you can go and buy a carbon offset, which might be planting some trees or protecting some forest or using some other technology to address that carbon, and you can offset one against the other. So you've got a kind of like accounting, you've got a credit and a debit. You're going to have a carbon impact of 5 tons, but you can buy an offset which supposedly is going to use those 5 tons, and so you're in a balanced situation. So the language of carbon neutral is you're not really doing anything to reduce your own carbon emissions. What you're doing is you're just offsetting those carbon emissions with another investment.
So it's not that the EU thinks that's is carbon offsetting a bad thing per se?
Ultimately, it's not as rigorous and it's not as protective of the climate as if you actually reduce those carbon emissions. So if you didn't take that flight, or you didn't go on that journey, or you didn't, as a business, you didn't have those emissions connected to your product or your service or your brand. So the language that is more recognized these days and is backed by the UN is that, and people may have come across this as well, this is the language of businesses saying that they want to be net zero. So net zero has a clear definition, and net zero means that the first thing you do is you do everything you can to reduce your emissions. So you might buy green electricity. You might try and be much, much more energy efficient. You might try and reduce your travel. You might try and bring in different aspects to your product and service which don't lead to emissions. So your focus is to squeeze your emissions down as low as possible. You then ultimately may need to buy some offsets to get from a small carbon emission down to zero. So the language of net zero is focused on get your, you know, first off, reduce your emissions, then turn to carbon offsets. What the EU is having a go at is at companies or brands who sort of say, look, you know, we're just going to carry on as usual. We're not going to worry about what our emissions are. Well, we'll work out what they are, but we're not going to do anything about reducing them. All we're going to do is just buy an offset. And then there are some question marks around offsets in terms of, you know, if you invest in planting trees, you know, in 50 years time, when your carbon emissions are still up there in the atmosphere. So, you know, if you, I know you drive an electric car, Kieran, so it's not going to be an issue with you. But if somebody goes out the door today and drives down to the supermarket, the carbon emissions that come out the back of their car in 50 years time, maybe even 100 years time, they're still going to be in the atmosphere warming the environment. So if you buy a carbon offset, you've got to make sure that those trees in 50 years time or 100 years time are still there. Carbon offset schemes, you know, we don't know what the long term picture is. You know, you could make an investment today, and in 20 years time, those trees or the technology you've invested in or whatever might have changed. So there's still a lot of questions around offsets. And what the EU is saying is don't rely on offsets. First and foremost, reduce your emissions. If you can't get them down to zero, and none of us probably will, then offset the balance. But don't just bank on offsets. And that's what they're going after in terms of brands using the language of carbon neutral, climate positive. And that is not in our current actions. You know, the Green Claims Code that we have in the UK, that doesn't really hit that kind of carbon neutral thing. So if you're a marketer, if you're a communicator, and that language is either in your brand at the moment, your brand promise at the moment, or you're thinking about how you're going to be addressing climate issues for the future, if you sell into the EU, so this isn't about, I know we're not in the EU anymore, in the UK, and lots of countries are not in the EU, but if you sell into the EU, you are going to be covered by this directive. And therefore, if you're thinking about what your product is, what your offer is year out, 2 years out, hence, if you're going to be including the language of carbon neutral, climate offset, anything like that, you know, you're going to be at risk of being in breach of this directive and the national laws that will be in place across all EU states.
Okay, so I think that's quite an important point, isn't it? So the EU, we have, the UK has a Green Claims Code.
Yeah.
But this EU directive goes much further than that. So if you are anywhere in the world and you are selling into the EU, you will be caught by this EU directive.
You will be caught by this EU directive. And I think as we've seen with other EU directives, and the classic example here is GDPR around data protection, I think the EU sets the bar, and if you're a global corporate, you look around the world and sort of think, okay, where's the high bar? You know, let's pretty much set our standards against that. So I think a lot of companies will be going, you know, that language, that promise, that doesn't work in the EU anymore. Not only can we not use it in the EU, let's just get rid of it everywhere. So if you're selling into the EU, you're going to fall foul of this. If you're working with working for a global corporate, I suspect you're going to fall foul of this. And I think this means this language, this sort of mishmash of terms around carbon and climate are going to disappear from the scene overall. Or I hope they are anyway. But I think this will be the first nail in the coffin of that kind of carbon neutral language.
Which is presumably that unless the company can actually claim they really are carbon neutral, but I think you're going to tell me that nobody really can be carbon neutral.
Well, I think it's going to be a term that is, it's already tarnished. I think it's just going to lose currency. So the language or the term that will replace it is around making a commitment as a business. So this has to be at the business level. You can't do this just for a single brand, but the term or the language or the commitment that is going to change at a business level is about a commitment to being net zero. So net zero has a clear definition backed up by the UN. You know, you can't mess around with that. And I think that's where we're heading.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I think this is a great thing. I think anything that makes it clearer for consumers has got to be good. I know you teach a carbon literacy trust or a course certified by the Carbon Literacy Trust. Would you like to explain a little bit about that and what that means?
Yeah. So this is a course that we run, the college runs. I'm one of the tutors. Neil Wilkins, our colleague, is my partner in crime on the day. We run a one-day course, which is backed by the Carbon Literacy Trust. We've taken that course and focused it in so it's best suited to people in marketing and communications roles. Other people are very welcome, but we particularly cover the marketing communications angle. And it's a one-day course, beginning to end, which we explain some of the science, what's happening on the carbon agenda, but we're particularly focused on helping people identify actions that they can take in both their personal life and their business life about being more climate friendly.
There is language around carbon, like you've talked about carbon neutral, carbon negative, net zero, but there's also things like scopes 1, 2, and 3, I know, which are very, very important in this world.
There's, as with any topic, Kieran, as you know, there's some jargon in there, and we explain all of that on our Carbon Literacy Day. All the courses we run it once a month. All the dates are on the Cambridge Marketing College website, of course. And I think the next course is towards the end of February.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.